I would like to read in the Gospel by Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 and verse 19. When he was sat down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now the book of the Acts and chapter 24. Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verse 29. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his heart. Finally, in chapter 17, and verse 31, verse 30, And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men cleave unto him and believe, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. We trust the Lord with a blessing through the reading of His Word, and help us preach the gospel from these scriptures that we have read. I would like to start from Acts chapter 17. When Paul preached, we see three results of his preaching. When he mentioned the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that some mocked. That is, some did not believe it. Some were unbelievers. Unbelief in the Word of God. We find that in a gospel meeting. Whenever the gospel is preached, there are those who don't believe it. We have that represented in Pilate. Pilate received a message from his wife, sent by God. Pilate did not believe it. He seemed as he mocked the Word of God. Then we read that there were those that mocked. There were those that said, well, we'll hear thee again. We'll attend to this matter at a future day. Here were those who procrastinated. We believe that takes place in our gospel meeting. There are those who find out I need to be saved and that I should be saved, but I'll just put it off until another time. We have that class represented in Felix. But then we read of those that believe, those that receive the message, those that put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for the great eternity. Thank God. Oftentimes in a gospel meeting, we see those and meet those who have believed the message, who have trusted Christ, who are happy in their soul. They have a lasting peace and a lasting joy that will last throughout time and then in the long ages of the great eternity. Now as we look in the weeks that are past, here in this series of meetings, and the result, all we would like to appeal to your soul tonight, my friend, that you might make a wise choice, because it could be for eternity. The choice that Pilate made on the judgment seat, while he may have not have thought too much about it, yet that was his choice for eternity. Many persons come to a gospel meeting, and they have made a choice in the seat, a choice that has been for eternity. Last summer, 1987, we had a tent pitched in a place called Wall Street. There was a man came to those meetings. He had come in years past that we had a tent pitched in that area. And he sat and listened to the gospel. The word of God gripped his soul, and it bothered him. One Sunday night, he and his wife came in. They couldn't get a seat together. The wife sat on one side, and he sat by himself on the aisle. When we were singing the second hymn, he just got up and went out. I thought maybe it's because he didn't get sitting beside his wife in the tent that night that he went home. We heard his car leave. We went to visit him. He says, I'm finished. He says, I won't be back. We said, well, was the word of God bothering you? He said it was. It gave me a great lot of concern. But he said, I'm not coming back. I won't be back. Now, we didn't think that God would take that man up in what he said. The choice that he made sitting in that tent that night, I won't be back to a gospel meeting, and he never will. Just early this spring, he said to his wife one night, he says, I've got a pain. She says, I'll phone the doctor. He said, no, don't worry. She phoned the doctor. She said, come on, I want you to go and see. He told me to go to the hospital and that he would come to the hospital. They had to drive perhaps 15 miles. He would start to drive the car. She took her son along. He just drove a couple of miles, had to stop. The son took over. They went into the hospital. They were sitting waiting on the doctor. He still had pain. All of a sudden, no pain. He said to his wife, the pain's gone. Let us go home. She was looking for a nurse to say we're going to go home. The doctor hadn't come then. Whenever she was looking around, the chair moved beside her, and she looked round. There was her husband sliding down in the great eternity. He sat in his last gospel meeting. He made a choice. He says, I won't be back. God took him up on his choice. God may take you up with your choice tonight in this gospel meeting. What will it be, friend? Will it be for eternity? Pilate was brought face to face with salvation, and he turned it down. Felix was brought face to face with eternity. He trembled, but he turned the Savior down. Friend, tonight, the jailer came face to face, and here it was, in relation to the salvation of a soul. He made a wise choice. It was for eternity. Simple, plain words. When he asked the question, the all-important question, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We sang that grand old hymn tonight. I just love that chorus. Because it would bring salvation to a sinner. My sins were laid on Jesus when he died on Calvary. That is the teaching of the Word of God, that God took my sins and laid them upon his Son when he died upon Calvary's cross. Now my sins, they cannot be on me and on Christ at the same time. God didn't take half of my sin and lay half upon his Son and the other half leave with me. Ah, no. We sing at times in the Lord's Day morning. All my sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing, I go free. How simple is God's way of salvation. Not trying or doing one's best, but simply believing on Jesus, the weary and sinful find rest. Now if I begin to think, well, God says my sins were laid on Jesus, and I start to feel, well, they're still here. They can't be two places. Either God's not telling me the truth, or there's something wrong with me. You see, God's salvation is not a puzzle. But I could make it a puzzle. If I start thinking, well, my sins are on me, how can they be in Christ? And that's where God says that they are. What is salvation? How could I get saved? Agree with God. Take sides with God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. May you do it tonight, and you'll be the happiest person in this world. Knowing my sins are gone, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to come to the question that Pilate asked. After God had dealings with him, his wife sent a message, and he got it. Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Pilate sitting on the judgment seat. The Savior of sinners stood before him. God's great salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. The crowd on the other hand cried, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. There was an answer to this question. It had to be given. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Friend, tonight on that seat which you sit, you've got to answer that question, or you leave this meeting. You may say, well, I don't. God weighs action more than word. If you leave another gospel meeting, after the dealings of God, after the kindness of God to you, and you go out again without Christ, you are setting and turning the Savior down as your own and personal Savior. My friend, it's a serious business to continually set aside God's beloved Son. What shall I do? That's a personal question. Let me ask you tonight, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ here in this meeting tonight? An answer must be given, either for or against, either to accept or to reject. People like to get in between. There's no in between. I either receive Christ as my Savior, or I reject Christ as my Savior. What is your choice going to be in this meeting? We know that the crowd said to Pilate, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. The crowd is against you. The crowd will help damn your soul. But friend, whenever you're damned, what do they care? Ah, friend, weigh the matter in the light of eternity. We sing that hymn with boys and girls at times. I have a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved on my mind and my heart while I'm young. For how awful the cost if my soul should be lost, and in hell if I die as I am. Consider the cost. Consider your soul tonight. A soul that's going to exist. The lifetime of God, either in heaven's glory or in hell's dark gloom. The choice that Pilate made in that seat was his choice for eternity. It was a sad choice. It was a wrong choice. You could make the wrong one tonight. But God wants you to be saved. He has done all that you can be saved. He has sent his Son. He has punished his Son in the stead of the sinner, that the sinner might go free. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It just comes fresh in my mind. I know I told it one night before, but I'm going to tell it again. I told this in Nova Scotia in the 10th in the summer, of a boy attending a meeting. A man put a quarter on the desk, and he said to that audience, whosoever will can have that quarter. Everyone sat still in their seat, and they were all wondering about that quarter. Finally, a little boy came up. He took the quarter. He thanked the preacher. The preacher says, just a minute, son. What's your name? He said, Cecil Smithers. The preacher said, I didn't say Cecil Smithers could have that quarter. Very tremblingly, he said, but preacher, you said whosoever, and that's me. Ah, it was his. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever is there a whosoever in her meeting believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the Tobin Road in Sydney, mine, there in the summer, a dear woman who had read John 3:16 in front of the pulpit every night, she says, I tore that verse apart, trying to get saved. But she says, I just saw, for the first time in my life, that whosoever, in John 3:16, that's me. I believe this word. I'll not perish, for God says it, I have everlasting life. Ah, friend, the choice you make tonight. Old Pilate made a sad choice, but he had a choice to make. He took sides with the crowd, even after the dealings of God with him. You know, every sinner that gets saved, their will is broken, and their mouth is stopped. There they are, and they're empty of all their praying. Whenever we get sinners to that point, they're not far from the kingdom of God. Ah, we trust you're there tonight, and if you be willing to put your trust and the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. Some mock, unbelief, fill their heart. Is that you tonight? Are you a rank unbeliever? I won't have this man to reign over me. But then there were others said, well, I'll attend to those matters later. I'll have to think this thing over for a while. And then when I get all the pieces fitted together, no friend, they procrastinated. They just put it off until another time. Are there souls in this meeting? And you know well that you should be saved. You have heard that if you would die in your sin, that you would be down in hell forever. Do you believe it? Is it real? Is that really true? When that dawned in my soul 38 years ago, I trembled. I thought of being in hell, being there forever. I didn't put off salvation. Just you think of a man or a woman in a burning building. The fireman comes along, then you're in bed. And they tell you this building's on fire. Would you say, would you come back some other time? No, you wouldn't think of it. I'll attend to this sometime later. When would it be the best time to attend, listening to a warning? The building's on fire. Oh, you say right away. Friend, tonight there's only the brittle thread of your life between your soul and an eternal fire. And that's what we're trying to do. That you may wake up. That you may flee to Christ before it is too late. Have you got time to lose? They said, well, we'll think about it later. Not just right now. But then we read of a man in Acts chapter 16. This man cried out, sir, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now in the Gospel by Mark chapter 5, we read there of a man called Jairus. He had a daughter who was 12 years of age, and she had died. Only 12, and she was dead. Only 12. And he asked the Lord Jesus to come to his house. And while they were on the way, the servants met him, and they said, trouble not the master any further. The damsel's dead. But the Lord Jesus said something to that man. Are you listening? Be not afraid. Only believe. I believe there's souls here tonight and you're afraid. There are some who are afraid of getting a false profession. If you're not honest, you will. There's a possibility that you would. But if you are honest, honest before God, if you are in earnest, earnestness is not salvation. But there's no be here that's saved. that was not in earnest when they got saved. Be not afraid of a false profession. Only believe. Believe in God's power to save your own helplessness. Simply to trust in the Word of God. Be not afraid that your sins are too many. For the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin, no matter how many that they may be. My friend, be not afraid, the Lord Jesus said, only believe. The man took the Savior at His word. They went into the house. They laughed the Savior to scorn. They were only mocking. And He put them all out. The Lord Jesus, when He did a miracle, raising the dead, He didn't bring everybody around to make a big show. He put everybody out. That's the opposite to what men would love to do. But there He took the girl by the hand. He says, Talitha Kumai, which being interpreted is, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Did she come back from the dead? She had to. Why? Because the Savior spoke. The Savior speaks to you tonight. What does He say to you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply keep the record that God has given in His Word that Christ died for your sins. And then, what does it say? For those who believe that Christ died for their sin, those who believe my sin were laid on Jesus, God said, thou shalt be saved. You see, you don't do the transferring. It's God who removes the sin whenever the sinner takes Him at His word. Would you take Him at His word tonight? Be not afraid. Only believe. Isaiah said in chapter 12 and verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Will you do it?